RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Anya Sana with the news. First, the headlines. New oil and gas reserves found in East Indonesia. Rohingya refugees to be trained in farming and animal husbandry. Jakarta provincial government holding public market during Ramadan. And now the news in detail. Speaking at the 95th anniversary of Indonesia's engineering school at Bandung Institute of Technology (ITB), Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Indroyono Susilo said on Friday that recent exploration activity has revealed new oil and gas reservoirs in the pre-tertiary basin from the Mesozoic era. According to Minister Indroyono, geologists predicted that the deposit of the oil reserves is about 222 billion barrels. Minister Indroyono added most of the reserves can be found in the pre-tertiary basin in East Indonesia. The country's geotectonic condition has resulted in areas enriched with minerals, oil and gas, particularly at the bottom of the ocean. Indonesia's oil deposits can be easily found in eastern coast of Sumatra, north of Java and Bali. Currently, Indonesia holds about 7.4 billion barrels of oil reserves and 149 trillion cubic feet equivalent of gas reserves. The minister said it was recorded that 40 out of 60 oil and gas fields are located in the ocean. He also highlighted important roles played by science and technology to build Indonesia as a maritime country. One of the initiatives to realize the vision is to build a technopark in Penajam, East Kalimantan Province. Minister Indroyono called on ITB alumni to be actively involved in the country's maritime development. Rohingya refugees in Blang Adu, North Aceh, will soon get a more decent place to live. Most of them will stay in the Integrated Community Shelter, or ICS, with the help of Fast Response Action, or ACT. Program Coordinator of ICS, Rahadiansyah, said in Blang Adu, North Aceh, on Friday that if Rohingya refugees move to ICS in August, they will be immediately empowered with farming and animal husbandry. He affirmed that the mothers, when moving to the ICS, could cook their favorite menus in the common kitchen. In addition, they will also be given toilet training because they are not able to use the toilet properly. The transfer of Rohingya refugees to ICS, he said, was tantamount to restore their human dignity because they could perform normal daily activities. Children can go to school, fathers can work with livestock and do farming, meanwhile their mothers can cook. In teaching them to use English and Indonesian, most of them are able to speak Malay and English. Jakarta provincial government annually holds public market during the month of Ramadan. Previously, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama was worried about many kinds of foods sold during fasting month were not qualified. Therefore, the provincial government holds a public market to sell basic commodities at affordable prices and also choices of Betawi typical food which are in good quality. This annual event is believed to help relieve the burden on society in the event of a surge in prices. Deputy Governor of Jakarta Jarod Saiful Hidayat has visited the popular market in Ciracas, East Jakarta recently. This public market is spread in several cities except in West Jakarta. Jarod asked the sellers to sell healthy and cheap food. The staples were sold in the public market with low price, food packages subsidized price of 25,000 to 30,000 rupiah. After a brief decline in activity, Mount Raung, located on the border between Banyuwangi, Bondowoso, and Jember regencies in East Java, has again shown increased signs of activity, which could potentially upgrade the volcano's alert status to the highest level. On Friday, Mount Raung Observation Center in Songgon District, Banyuwangi, reported that the 3,332-meter-high volcano had produced intensive tremors over the past 24 hours. Station officer Burhan Aletea said, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday, that Mount Raung has been emitting volcanic tremors for the past 24 hours at amplitudes of between 23 and 32 millimeters. However, the tremors were dominated by 26 millimeter amplitudes. Burhan also said that fire on the peak of the volcano could be seen clearly from the station. On Monday, the Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation Center, or PVMBG, raised Mount Raung's alert status from level 2 to level 3 after it discharged molten lava and spewed volcanic ash on Sunday and Monday. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, has named former Religious Affairs Minister Surya Dharma Ali as a suspect in a new case related to the alleged embezzlement of operational funds at the Religious Affairs Ministry. The decision to name him a suspect was made during an in-depth investigation into a graft case relating to 2012-2013 Hajj pilgrimage funds at the ministry, in which Surya Dharma was allegedly involved and had previously been named a suspect. This was stated by Acting Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Deputy Chairman Johan Budi in Jakarta on Thursday, as quoted by Kompas.com. When asked, Johan did not deny that the decision to name Surya Dharma a suspect was related to operational funds at his ministry, but he did not know when a sprindik or letter ordering the start of an investigation on the case would be issued. Previously, Johan said that the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK had expanded its investigation into the graft case related to the management of Hajj pilgrimage funds. Friday, July the 3rd at 12 noon was the final deadline for registration of leadership candidates for Corruption Eradication Commission KPK. Chairman of its selection committee team, or PANSEL, Destri Damayanti, claimed to have received hundreds of registrant names which have met the prerequisites. Destri Damayanti said on Friday, as quoted by Republika Online, until Thursday afternoon there have been 538 registrants. She said this still continues to increase. Regarding the comparisons of registrants based on institution, Destri admitted that she could not ensure it, because the selection committee team is still checking the registration documents, including curriculum vitae or CV. She made sure that the number of male registrants is much more than the female ones. The Economist said the number of female registrants is no more than 10%, because lastly, she said the female registrants are only 43 persons. And the last item, Indonesian business people welcomed the signing of the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, by 56 countries, including Indonesia, on June 29 in Beijing, China. Chairman of the Indonesian Employers Association, or APINDO, of International Relations and Investment, Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, said that the signing of this AIIB will accelerate infrastructure development in Indonesia.
Saya rasa pada saat ini kan Indonesia membutuhkan financing yang besar.
Indonesia now requires huge financing for the existing infrastructure projects. To accelerate this, I think from the entrepreneur's point of view, the faster infrastructure built, the better. Sinta further said infrastructure is one of the major investment rates in Indonesia. Improving infrastructure will encourage prospective investors to invest in the country. Sinta added she doesn't mind if the majority of the funding comes from China. Business people give more priority on the quality of the project than the funder's home countries. Every funder entering Indonesia must have a commitment to maintain the quality of the project. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. New oil and gas reserves are found in East Indonesia. Rohingya refugees are to be trained in farming and animal husbandry. Jakarta provincial government is holding public market during Ramadan. And listener, that was the news.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review, compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pane. We begin with Kompas newspaper. Kompas writes in its editorial, Hercules and the State Unitary. Flights will forever have a special meaning for Indonesia. In addition to the country's vast territory, also because of its geography as an archipelagic country, aircraft will continue to be military and civilian transportation that irreplaceable. Kompas writes, whenever there is a disaster on a flight, such as the Air Force Hercules, which crashed in Medan on Tuesday, Indonesia always felt devastated. According to Kompas, the Indonesian people share a deep sorrow to the families of the crew members and passengers aboard the ill-fated C-130A13-10. The Air Force should immediately conduct a thorough investigation on the disaster of the Hercules carrying 12 crew and 101 passengers. According to Kompas, the investigation is not meant to find the guilty party, but rather to prevent the recurrence of a similar tragedy, All parties have to respect the missions that had been carried by Hercules and other transport aircrafts. Given its crucial function, it is the nation's homework to build a fleet of transport aircraft that adequate in numbers and reliable aircrafts. Kompas wants to underline that, as it is for fighter aircraft, transport aircraft also needs to be updated. If the fighter jets are expected to cause terror to the enemy, transport aircraft is hoped be able to continue to strengthen the unity of the nation because it frequently visit the corners of the republic, even isolated area as Natuna and Wamena. We move to Republika newspaper. The Daily, in its editorial, writes the challenge for TNI commander. Fit and proper tasks for the prospective commander of the Armed Forces of Indonesia, TNI, took place in the Commission 1 of the House building on Wednesday. The only candidate who underwent the task was General Gatot Nurmantio. In front of the House of Representatives Commission 1, Gatot stressed on strengthening the Air Force and Navy, the two dimensions that are very important issues to be addressed. At sea, Indonesia has many weak points that must be addressed. The border region is still the area that is easily passed by foreign vessels. The weak point in border area is also a doorway to smugglers and also human traffickers. Focus on strengthening the Navy becomes important things that can be expected to guard the border regions of Indonesia. As the sea, the airspace has not been guarded well. The case of foreign aircraft that got into the Indonesian airspace happened for many times. It shows the monitoring of airspace is still weak. Air becomes a very vital region in the element of national defense. Therefore, it is the right choice if the candidate of the military commander makes air as the focus of reform. According to Republika, programs to overcome the challenges become a tool to measure the performance of the military commanders in the future. We conclude press review with Media Indonesia newspaper. This newspaper writes in its editorial, "Human error is the scapegoat. The lack of a budget is often a major hurdle for the rejuvenation of the old man weaponry system of the Indonesian military. For the procurement of new defense equipment, the military does not only require a large budget, but also complicated and time-consuming process. In fact, the operational needs of defense equipment from time to time can never wait. To get around this situation, a compromise is often be taken. Media Indonesia writes, old weapons which should already put in the warehouse is still operated. The defense equipment rejuvenated with optimized treatment, including by replacing the original parts that are no longer manufactured with counterfeit parts, which can be obtained with low prices on the black market. Media Indonesia writes, the fall of the Hercules C-130 Type B in Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday is feared, either directly or indirectly, related to the practice of the use of counterfeit parts. The concern is not without reason. The U.S.-made aircraft with turboprop engines, which allegedly suffered a technical malfunction after 2 minutes of takeoff from the airfield Suwondo Medan, is a plane that is too frail to be operated. The aircraft was manufactured in 1964. Media Indonesia writes, strangely, although the aircraft is already and its spare parts are not original, an official statement said the aircraft remained airworthy. That is tantamount to blaming the human factor as the cause of the accident. According to Media Indonesia, it is a right decision if the Air Force tables Hercules aircrafts to prevent another disaster. However, the procurement of new weaponry system in the Air Force clearly cannot be negotiable. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listeners, meet again with me, Mariati, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on July 4, 1927, when the Indonesian National Association was established. On July 4, 1927, Sukarno, a young engineer at the time, and members of the Bandung Study Club formed a movement called the Indonesian National Association. In May 1928, the name was changed to the Indonesian National Party. The organization's aims was economic and political independence for the Indonesian archipelago. This would be achieved by non-cooperation with the Dutch colonial regime. By the end of 1929, the organization had 2,000 members. This alarmed the authorities, and Sukarno and seven party leaders were arrested in December 1929. They were put on trial for being a threat to public order, and in September 1930 received sentences of 1 to 3 years. Sukarno received the longest sentence. The next event was in 1943, when the Battle of Kursk began. The Battle of Kursk was a Second World War engagement between German and Soviet forces on the Eastern Front near Kursk, 450 kilometers or 280 miles southwest of Moscow, in the Soviet Union during July and August 1943. The German offensive was codenamed Operation Citadel and led to one of the largest armored clashes in history, the Battle of Prokhorovka. The German offensive was countered by two Soviet counteroffensives, Operation Polkovodets, Romian Steppe, and Operation Kutuzov. For the Germans, the battle represented the final strategic offensive. They were able to mount in the east. For the Soviets, the victory gave the Red Army the strategic initiative for the rest of the war. And the last event was on July 4, 2013, when the Statue of Liberty opened again. The Statue of Liberty, or Liberty Enlightening the World, is a colossal neoclassical sculpture on Liberty Island in New York Harbor in New York City in the United States. The copper statue, designed by Frederick August Bartholdi, a French sculptor, was built by Gustav Eiffel and dedicated on October 28, 1886. It was a gift to the United States from the people of France. The statue was admitted by the United States Lighthouse Board until 1901, and then by the Department of War since 1933. It has been maintained by the National Park Service. The statue was closed for renovation for much of 1938. In the early 1980s, it was found to have deteriorated to such an extent that a major restoration was required. While the statue was closed from 1984 to 1986, the torch and a large part of the internal structure were replaced. After the September 11 attacks in 2001, it was closed for reasons of safety and security. The pedestal reopened in 2004 and the statue in 2009, with limit on the number of visitors allowed to ascend to the crown. The statue, including the pedestal and base, was closed for a year until October 28, 2012, so that a secondary staircase and other safety features could be installed. Liberty Island remained open. However, one day after the reopening, Liberty Island closed due to the effects of Hurricane Sandy in New York. The statue and island opened again on July 4, 2013. Public access to the balcony surrounding the torch has been barred for safety reasons since 1916. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on a parliament agree Gatot Nurmantio as Indonesian military commander. I'm Dalat Pani. 10 factions in the Commission 1 of House of Representatives agreed at the appointment of General Gatot Nurmantio as the Indonesian military DNI commander, and also approved the dismissal of General Muldoko from the post of military commander. It was announced by the chairman of Commission 1, Mahfud Siddiq, in the Commission 1 meeting room, Jakarta, on Wednesday. Mahfud explained, Hanura Party approved without notes. Nasdem Party agreed with a note asking the commander's commitment to prioritize the domestic industry. PPP agreed and asked specifically Gatot's commitment to responsible, not just be bold, assertive and sincere. PKS, PKB and PAN factions, Democratic Party and Gerindra factions, agreed without notes. Golkar faction, according to him, gave approval with three notes. First, asked Gatot to make a breakthrough and improving the welfare of soldiers. Breakthroughs are also made to the settlement of land disputes between the military and the people. The third, strengthening community participation in assisting and supporting roles, responsibilities, and functions of the military. Meanwhile, Mahfud stressed that PDIP factions, since the beginning, has given concern without notes. Gatot Nurmantio is the only candidate the president proposed to the House. Mahfud explained, there are three points that are considered by Commission 1 of the House of Representatives to approve the candidacy of Gathot. First, the administrative requirements, so has no problem. Secondly, Gathot's exposure to the vision, mission, and program describes and reflects his knowledge as aspects of global geopolitics and geostrategy that becomes a trend in change. Thirdly, according to Mahfuz, Commission 1 considered the vision and the view of Gathot on the military, who wants consolidation of institutions such as personal, doctrine, and defense equipment. Mahfuz describes the results of the first meeting of the Commission will be reported to the Chairman of the House of Representatives to take to the Consultative Council and then submit it to the plenary meeting for approval. Due diligence on the candidacy of TNI Commander General Gathot Nurmantio by the Commission 1 of the House of Representatives took place amid public concern after the Air Force plane Hercules C-130 crashed in Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday. Related to that, Gathot Nurmantio stated his commitment to bring in new aircraft, not a grant or use for future procurement. Gathot explained, there are old and new defense equipment owned by Indonesia. The old one is still used, but must be maintained. Currently, according to Gathot, there are 12 Hercules aircrafts made in 1964 and 12 that produced in 1975 and after. He said it was impossible to stop the operation of the Hercules aircrafts, even though the aircraft are old. He added, Hercules aircrafts that produced in 1964 are still in use by Singapore and Bangladesh, but do maintenance system on an ongoing basis. Well, listener, that was Focus.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta, Saturday, July the 4th, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes in its headlines, Regulation of Old Age Risk Scheme to be revised. This is an Indonesian government regulation number 46 year 2015 on the implementation of old age risk scheme signed on June the 30th 2015 will soon be revised. The step is in accordance with President Joko Widodo's order to respond protests launched by workers. The protest relates to regulation on the withdrawal of the old age risk funds, especially for laying off workers. The President has ordered Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri and Director of Workers' Social Security Management Agency Alvin G. Masaya to revise the government regulation. The decision to revise the regulation was asserted on Friday, July the 3rd, 3 days after the government regulation was signed by President. According to Hanif, the revised government regulation will only relate to regulation of old age risk scheme withdrawal for workers who are laid off or resign working before July 1, 2015. With the revised regulation, the workers do not need to wait until 10 years. Koran Tempo, in its headline, wrote about issue on old age risk scheme. A wave of labor protests to revise the withdrawal of old age risk scheme administered by the Workers' Social Security Management Agency is fruitful, and the government said it would revise the government regulation number 46 of 2015 on the implementation of the scheme. Minister of Manpower Hanif Dakhiri said BPJS or the Social Security Management Agency participants who stopped working are allowed to take old age risk scheme fund in a month after resigning from work. The rule differs from Regulation No. 46 in 2015, which states that the funds can only be disbursed only after the participant reaches 10-year period of membership, so that workers who stop working doesn't need to wait up to 10 years. And we end today's headline with Media Indonesia, which in its headline writes, House asks the Indonesian military TNI to be honest on spare part issue. Vice Chairman of House's Commission 1, Tantowi Yahya, asked the Indonesian military to be transparent in maintaining the main weaponry system, including spare parts of aircrafts belonging to the Indonesian military TNI. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Speaking at the 95th anniversary of Indonesia's Engineering School at Bandung Institute of Technology ITB, Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Indroyono Susilo said on Friday that recent exploration activity has revealed new oil and gas reservoirs in the pre-tertiary basement from the Mesozoic era. Rohingya refugees in Blang Adu, North Aceh, will soon get a more decent place to live. Most of them will stay in the Integrated Community Shelter, ICS, with the help of Fast Response Action, ACT. Jakarta Provincial Government annually hold public market during the month of Ramadan. Previously, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama was worried about many kinds of foods sold during fasting month were not qualified. After a brief decline in activity, Mount Raung, located on the border between Banyuwangi, Bondowoso, and Jember Regency in East Java, has again shown increased signs of activity, which could potentially upgrade the volcano's alert status to the highest level. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, has named former Religious Affairs Minister Surya Dharma Ali as a suspect in a new case related to the alleged embezzlement of operational funds at the Religious Affairs Ministry. Friday, July the 3rd at 12 noon was the final deadline for registration of leadership candidates for Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. Chairman of Selection Committee Team, or PANSEL, Destri Damayanti, claimed to have received hundreds of registrant names which have met the prerequisites. And the last item, Indonesian business people welcomed the signing of the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, by 56 countries, including Indonesia, on June 29 in Beijing, China. Chairman of the Indonesian Employers Association, or APINDO, of International Relations and Investment, Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, said that the signing of this AIIB will accelerate infrastructure development in Indonesia. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to VOI Quiz 2015 voicequiz2015@gmail.com. voicequiz2015@gmail.com. Before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Ani Hasana. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit Putri Asih Cave in Tuban, East Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, Putri Asih Cave is located at Mulyo Agung Village, Montong, Tuban Regency, East Java. This cave is very beautiful and located at natural teak forest. Putri Asih Cave is located 30 kilometers from the center of Tuban City, which is well known as a city of thousand caves. Putri Asih Cave was found by a stone miner, Diadi, on September 6, 2002. In the beginning, Diadi found a 30-centimeter wide hole. Diadi did not think that the hole was a cave. He was curious and put 1 meter long wood into the hole. In fact, the wood fell into the hole. Finally, Diadi and his friends tried to make a hole bigger and entered the hole. When entering the hole, they were amazed because the scenery in the hole is very beautiful. He saw beautiful stalactite and stalagmite which had never been touched by human. Even, there are still many living stalactite and stalagmite and still able to grow long. There is a big bluish stalagmite like a shawl of a princess. Because of that, the cave is named Putri Asih or Princess Asih Cave. Putri Asih Cave is very interesting to be an adventure site. This cave has never been renovated. Even its floor is still made of clay, so that it will be very difficult to go down the cave for those who do not have adventurous soul. The cave is 4 hectares wide and 250 meters long and has original ornaments, various colors and forms of stalactite and stalagmite. Listener, you can visit Putri Asih Cave by using your own vehicle or public transportation. If you take public transportation, you can start from Tuban Bus Terminal to Montong. Along the way to Putri Asih Cave, you will pass through 2.5 kilometer rocky roads while enjoying the beautiful scenery. And listener, that was our Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miss Eleni, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the story of Ondel-Ondel, the typical Jakarta giant doll, so stay tuned. Ondel-ondel is a giant doll made of paper and rattan. It always presents if there is a big celebration in the city of Jakarta. Practically within every party or gathering among Betawi community, Ondel-ondel is always there. Just like the city of Jakarta, Ondel-ondel too has its own history, which is quite interesting. Originally, Ondel-ondel was called Barongan, but no one knows for sure the meaning of the word, except maybe it sounds like Barongsai, the Chinese traditional lion dance, which has long been known in Indonesia, Jakarta in particular. There is no similarity between an ondel-ondel which looks like a giant human and a barongsai which is a mystical lion though. However, both are of giant size and often taken around kampung or village to be played together. According to the story, Betawi ondel-ondel is a personification of the ancestors of Betawi people who always watch over their progeny or residents of certain village. W. Scott, a British trader, noted in his book, a kind of doll similar to ondel-ondel already existed in 1605. As said before, ondel-ondel is the personification of the ancestral Betawi people whose spirit always keep their descendants from evil. As a representation of the spirits, it is a small wonder that in the past, ondel-ondel looked pretty scary. Today, however, many people think it is rather funny. They always come in pairs, a male and female ondel-ondel, sometimes even with a kid ondel-ondel. Despite the function shift, the ritual element cannot entirely be separated from the tradition of ondel-ondel. The process of making ondel-ondel must be conducted in an orderly fashion. There is a special time to make ondel-ondel. Good time to form the face as well as to wave some bamboo for the body. In the past, before being put on a show, ondel-ondel used to ask for opium as part of the ritual. Since later opium was prohibited, it was then substituted with a lisong or cigar, or sometimes just a cigarette taped on the mouth. Ondel-ondel are often used to keep off bad spirits. According to an old belief of Betawi people, such plague as smallpox outbreak would disappear after residents parading ondel-ondel around the village. The mystical element is still very strongly felt in the process of making an ondel-ondel. Even today, ondel-ondel makers still serve a wide range of offerings and perform certain rituals before they make an ondel-ondel. Before the manufacturing process begins, craftsmen will provide a variety of offerings like incense, seven kinds of flowers, and gruel. It was done with the aim so that the ondel-ondel making will run smoothly and the spirit that resides in the giant doll is a good spirit. The same thing goes after the ondel-ondel is already finished. Usually they would provide other offerings and burnt frankincense, accompanied by incantations addressed to the spirits who are supposed to reside in or guard the ondel-ondel. Before removing an ondel-ondel from the storage to be paraded or taken to a show, the ritual is always held. The incense burning, meanwhile, is conducted by the leader of an ondel-ondel show group or one of the village elders. In the local term, such ceremony is called mukup. Listener, making an ondel-ondel by applying such rituals continued until the 1980s, when the process slowly became obsolete in line with the shifting of ondel-ondel function. Along with the times, ondel-ondel today is used more to add a festive atmosphere to people's parties, a celebration of a marriage or a circumcision, as well as to welcome the guest of honor, such as in the inauguration of a new building. When Jakarta was under Governor Ali Sadikin from 1966 until 1977, Ondel-Ondel was named as the traditional unique Betawi art doll. It also became an entertaining folk performing art. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany, informing you about the story of Ondel-Ondel. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again tomorrow with the next edition of Miscellany. We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Ani Hasana, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to the Almer Band. Well, voice listener, before we talk more about the Almer Band, let's listen to a song entitled Aku Gila or I'm Crazy. Let's check it out.
Aku tak peduli apa yang aku lakukan untuk mendapatkan kau yang dulu pernah aku lupakan. Sekarang ku butuh kamu untuk ada di dekatku, tak berhenti menggodamu seribu cara. Kata orang aku
Listener, you've just listened to the first song from the Almer Band entitled Aku Gila, or in English means I'm Crazy. This band has been established since 2007, which consists of Ziad, the vocalist, Uzair, the drummer, Panca, the bassist, and Arnes, the guitarist, by playing pop-rock genre with Arabian touch. The Almer Band's genre is unique because they tried to compete in Indonesian music industry with different touch. What is the meaning of the band's name? This is probably valid for most people, but not for the Almer from Surabaya, East Java. They have a reason of changing their band's name from Hamin Dalit to become the Almer. Ziad, the vocalist of the Almer, has a reason that the change of their name is to make it easy for them in mentioning it. Almer, which means prince, is taken from an Arabian name. Well, Voy listener, let's listen to the second song from the Almer entitled Takut Kehilangan, or in English means Don't Want to Lose You.
Yeah.
Listener, according to one of Almer personnel, Panca, all the band's musical arrangement comes from guitar followed by other instruments. With their first album, entitled Kerajaan Hati or A Heart Kingdom, and their single, Selama di Hati or Forever in My Heart, the Almer wants to be successful and famous in Indonesian music industry. Well, Voy listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from the Almer entitled Kerajaan Hati or The Heart Kingdom and Selamanya di Hati or in English means Forever in My Heart. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.